Hi and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson and I'm very happy to be back. I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK and we're on episode 35. We're back, Dodds, we're back.
Hello.
Oh yeah, here's Producer Dodds. Sorry, I forgot to introduce you.
What? It's almost like we've not done this for a few weeks.
I know. And with me, as always, is Producer Dodds.
Nailed it.
Forgot what I was doing.
Oops.
Have you got a fact about the number 35?
Just hold that thought.
Now, come on. We've recorded the Social Minds, the Social Chain podcast this week, and it was so slick. They were so prepared, and there was like lights and cameras and all sorts of stuff. And I feel like we just wing it.
Which would you rather, though?
Wing it. 100%.
Oh. No, I can't find a fun fact about the number 35.
Oh, no. I've decided
Please
that...
don't replace me.
I'm on the hunt for a new producer, someone who knows fun facts about numbers. Would I ever replace you? And we're back. And I'm sorry that there's been a bit of a gap in podcast production.
Is it called... What's a hiatus?
A hiatus,
What
yeah.
does that mean?
Like a break.
Let's call it that. That sounds cool.
Yeah, but we didn't... It's an unintended hiatus. We didn't mean it to happen. And I appreciate the messages that I've had as well, like asking nice, where the podcast's been and asking us to come back. I've not been very well, but I'm back.
And there's proof in that, in the fact that the last one we recorded at your house, just before Easter,
yeah.
And not very well.
Yeah, I've not been very well and I needed to take a bit of time out. And I'm back, I'm getting there now, slowly but surely. I am back, and we're back doing the podcast. I'm very happy because I've missed it.
Yeah, so this is going to be an extra big episode mm-hmm. to hopefully crown, and it's going to be mainly like value driven. So we're going to try and cram as much in as possible to kind of make up for our unintentional hiatus.
So anyone that's missed us, you should hopefully get a good fix of us and our voices.
I'd be sick of us, yeah.
Yeah, by the end of this extra long podcast.
Apologies, and that's the transparency of it going forward.
Yes, sometimes you just need a little time out. So I hope you...
A hiatus.
Yeah, or a hiatus. So I hope you appreciate that.
And full update now, we did have guests booked in, as we mentioned, and then we had to obviously reschedule those. So they are still coming. I feel like we've been promising those for a while.
Yes.
And we're now just on the emails trying to fix a new date.
New dates.
And they're all experts from different fields, because Katie did an Instagram story poll where it was asking who would you rather, what kind of experts would you like to see on the podcast or learn from, would that be diet or gym or mind. Everything in between. So
we're
rescheduling
on that.
Those.
Yeah, I'm really excited about those because I think I'm going to learn a lot as well, which is something... Who doesn't want to know about when you should drink coffee and when you shouldn't? I'm super excited about that. Yeah, so we've listened to you and your feedback, and we are building our guest list based on that feedback. And we'll update you as soon as we've got new dates in, because as Dodd said, we were meant to have a couple in while I was off, and unfortunately that was not a possibility. So thank you for your patience. Normal service will resume. Let's crack on.
Yes, that's enough of the pleasantries.
Yeah. This episode is going to be all about new technologies. So this episode's all going to be all around new technologies, and hopefully you can get some good insight into what we see as the emerging technologies and clever things that other brands are doing in this space. So shall we kick off with the business news with regards to technology?
Yes.
What we've found.
That'd be a great idea.
First thing is that Facebook have chosen London and Ireland to get the to be the location of their new hub for their monetary exchange platform, which I think is very exciting and incredibly powerful for the London market. They've chosen London because they can get a multitude of cultural insights from that one place. So I think that's really cool. And the fact that they've chosen London over, say, Silicon Valley to start building this tech platform is incredibly powerful.
So pat on the back for us.
Pat on the back for us. Well done, London and Ireland. And thank you, Facebook. So I'm still a bit like unsure about how Facebook money exchange will work. But I wonder if in the future whether we'll be actually using pounds or whether we'll just use Facebook currency. But that's just weird, going to the bank and getting cash out.
Yeah.
Just, you just don't do it, do you?
So it's definitely the way that it's so simple as like Apple Pay. How easy is it to pay?
So boop, easy.
Boop, on the side of your phone.
Yeah, you don't even
show your face to it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's kind of dangerous.
It's really dangerous.
So easily, but
Apple Pay so on easy. ASOS is, like, is my actual
yeah,
like,
you can do downfall. Apple Pay on more than 30 quid or whatever it is.
I don't know.
And then it's like fraud proof.
Yeah.
It's like much harder to steal any money if it's not, if you have to use Face ID to pay.
Yeah.
Whereas notes, obviously, is pretty simple.
How weird will it be when the world doesn't have coins?
Well, I think it's weird because, like, my mum and dad only pay with cash.
Yeah, my dad likes to have cash.
And I'm like, what?
Do you know where it comes? Where you come unstuck? Car parking, if you go anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I was when I've been to the hospital recently, you've got to, like, put coins in the machine.
Oh, right.
Stupid. Anyway,
I digress. Yeah,
I digress. Back onto the business news. Something really cool that we've noticed from Mexico, that's come out of Mexico and from Burger King, is using GPS technology to deliver Whoppers to people who are stuck in traffic. So in Mexico, it's got some of the worst traffic jams in the world. People can be stuck in traffic for 5 hours. Can you imagine being stuck in traffic for 5 hours? Like, my half an hour commute is enough. So Burger King have obviously spotted an opportunity there where people are sat in the car for such a long time and they're going to be hungry on the way home. So what they've done is they've used latest technology of GPS technology, location software, and also voice recognition software in order to enable people within a 3 kilometer radius from a Burger King store to order through their phone a Whopper, and then a bike will come and deliver it to the car, and the car and the GPS technology will know exactly where that person in who is who's ordered it. Coupled with that, what they also did is they did personalized outdoor, digital outdoor ads to tell people how long the wait was for a Whopper, but also then when you'd ordered, you got a personalised, you were actually on the billboard saying your Whopper will be delivered in 4 minutes. So you've got that whole personalisation, famous for 5 minutes type moment as well within it. And I just think it's super clever, super clever. Well done, Burger King. And they're also now rolling it out to Sao Paulo and LA. The Just Eats or Deliveroos of this world could definitely tap into something like that.
Because Deliveroo already use it, don't they, on their drivers?
Yeah.
The same technology.
The same technology, yeah. Imagine if they did it on the tube. I know they couldn't because of the...
And the but guy, you can't, was, the guy got... was just at the station with the burger, just yeah. as the doors open and went, there's your...
Yeah. Oh, God, can you... Or drinks. You imagine on a hot day?
An ice lolly.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
$1 million idea there for anybody who wants it.
Yeah, we're here all week. The Starbucks, we just can't get our head around the fact that you have not capitalized on something that is what we think is a money can't buy. Well, actually, is a money can buy opportunity, but at the whopping total of $2.3 billion, it's been estimated. So I'm sure you'll have seen it. It's been talked about a lot. Game of Thrones, mistake in post-production. There was a Starbucks cup or a coffee cup. It's not even been identified as a Starbucks cup, which is an interesting point. Was left on set in front of one of the main characters. What did they do? What did they do? They did one tweet. One tweet. One tweet. And it's not even a good tweet. It's not even funny. The tweet just says... She could have been drinking a dragon drink. No one even knows what the dragon drink is. It's just such a waste. It's been talked about so many times across media and across social. I think there have been over 10,000 mentions across TV and radio, and then over 200,000 mentions on social of Starbucks and Game of Thrones. But I just think Starbucks' response to it and the way that they've dealt with it hasn't... You could have done so much more. It's like a golden ticket and they've just not used it. One tweet about it. And then when people have been tweeting about it, their replies have just been like an emoji. So I know this was in a week ago's episode, and we're a little bit later on putting this out, but that's because we were hoping, or I was hoping, that Starbucks would have come up with something a lot smarter to do with this golden ticket that they've been given from Game of Thrones. Brands are absolutely like fighting over themselves to try and get themselves part of a conversation about Game of Thrones. We've seen Calm use the characters to try and do nighttime stories. We've seen Oreo build the whole of the wall using Oreo cookies. And Starbucks' response is just so nothing. Nothing. Like, why would you not use it? Why would they not create a Starbucks coffee, a Game of Thrones? Why would they not create a Game of Thrones coffee or a cup, or a limited edition cup like they do at Christmas, just for like a week or so, to get people to drive them in store, buy a coffee, link it up with what's happened, and then they can be part of the conversation? But just their response to it on social has been so poor. There was one tweet that was, someone had tweeted, "What do dragons drink anyway?" Their response was, Starbucks' response was, "Whatever they want." It's not even pushing product. The only product they've mentioned is a dragon fruit smoothie, which I'm sure isn't one of their top performing products. I just think it's such a waste. Never look a gift horse in the mouth. We talk so much about being part of conversation in a timely manner. And you've seen from how much that they're quoting that this value is worth. $2.3 billion in value that they've had mentioned. And they've not capitalised on it in any shape or form to drive people in store and purchase. It's such a missed opportunity. Yes, they've been talked about in relation to Game of Thrones, but I don't think that's good enough. I've seen ASOS do things about find the cup within the website. Like, even they've done something to try and get people to purchase, and Starbucks just haven't done anything. They didn't even have to do anything in store, they could have just quite easily changed their logo on social, been part of this sort of word of mouth. Everyone talks about Game of Thrones. You see it on everyone's social on a Sunday. Everyone snaps when they're starting to watch it. So in everyone's stories, I'm watching Game of Thrones. And then the conversation about the Starbucks cup just went so far and wide. If Starbucks were going to do something to be part of that word of mouth conversation, they should have done it. And it's just such a missed opportunity. It's such a shame. They weren't part of that word of mouth conversation. It's meaningless to me. I just don't...
Imagine how many retweets their hashtag new profile pic would have got if they'd have just changed the logo and just put a crown on the woman.
Well, there is a crown on the woman anyway, so all they needed to do was put a couple of dragons in the background.
You know, they've got those two things, whatever they
are. Yeah, they should have just been dragons. The logo should have just had two dragons in the background.
Imagine how many retweets that would have got. Like, or if they made a fiery cappuccino or something. Just, no, it doesn't have to be a reference to Game of Thrones. It could have just been a dragony coffee for a week.
There was no personality behind their response. And one thing that we always talk about, and the importance of customer exchanges on social, is having a personality and living the brand and the gift that they were given. They could have done anything. The fact that she was drinking a Starbucks drink after they'd won the Great War, they could have done anything about get up and go on a Monday. If she's drinking it after such a battle, you can drink it and face anything that Monday's going to throw at you. Just even that little bit of personality in there related to the programme would have done so much more than what do dragons drink, anything they want. So in order to make up for our hiatus, we are going to do three admission submissions because we've got a bit of a backlog. Thank you for everyone for sending them in while I've not been here. I appreciate that. If you want to send in your admission submission, we always want them. You can go onto the website www.katieleeson.com and submit your admission there. First one is a thank you from a female aged 29, and the message reads: a couple of months ago I submitted an admission submission on my massive dilemma on whether to quit my job and go freelance as a full-time influencer or blogger. Katie's advice was really helpful and made me realize I'd put a lot of groundwork in to get me to the stage where I was ready to leave. I found the advice on each episode so motivating and inspiring, and I wanted to let you know that I handed in my notice this week and I found the confidence to give it a shot. Thank you so much for your advice and keep up the amazing work with this podcast because it's great. Aww.
So it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
Yeah.
All warm and fuzzy inside.
That makes me feel less ill. Yeah, I do remember that one, and I think I know who it is as well from social conversations that I've had on Twitter with someone. So there was a very nice lady that I think I know who it is.
Do you know her? Or?
I don't know her. No.
Oh, that's cool though. Mm-hmm. Well, please let us know how it goes.
Yeah, I'd love to. Badly, yeah, then please don't tell us because our advice then wasn't good. But it's so nice. It's so nice to hear that what we're doing is useful, because that's the main premise of this podcast, is to make sure that we can help people. And I'd love to hear how it goes. Hopefully that you've now handed your notice in. Whenever you sent this in, you are now free to do what you want. So hopefully that's now going very well. And thanks so much for feeding back to us as well.
And if it goes badly, you could always have my job as the producer.
Yeah, if you've got facts about numbers, then you've got a job. It always amazes me that people are listen to what we say.
You know what I think baffles me, right? You'll say something,
yeah,
because you feel that that's to be true, and then somebody you don't know and have never seen, spoken to, or any knowledge that they even existed until they reach out, hears it and then agrees, and then it impacts their behaviour.
I know.
That I think blows my top on. With, like when you open up, say about your dad, and then you got all those messages about how people go, because it's such a personal journey.
Yeah.
To you, people go through the same thing, and how it helps them. It's like,
it's crazy,
and it impacts. They then change their behaviour because they heard you say that,
yeah.
And you don't know
that it's crazy.
That they even existed that morning.
Mad, it's crazy, crazy, crazy. So that admission submission didn't really need any advice because they'd already taken it. Moving on to the next one.
Best of luck, I guess.
Yeah, best of luck. Can't wait to hear how it goes. Please keep us updated. The next one is, I shouldn't say this because I have employment, but I really want to work at Social Chain. Have you picked these out just to give me a nice boost of confidence?
Just a little. I'm going through chronologically.
Ah, okay.
So they're just coming.
That's nice. Time. Nice. I thought you'd pick them to make me feel good.
I should have just said yes.
This is from a female aged 22. Hey, Katie, just wondering if you weren't working at Social Chain now, but wanted a job there, what would you do to get a foot in the door? Ooh.
Good question. How do you get a job at Social Chain?
So in the past, we've had quite a few unusual job applications. I think the main thing is to make sure that you know exactly what we do, because a lot of people see who we are from the outside and want to work here. But it's good if you know what we actually do on a day-to-day basis. But we have had in the past some quite unusual job applications, yours being one of them, wasn't it?
I guess so.
What did you do?
The day before, they'd won an award for being best marketing agency in Europe, which for a small company was like really big. So you could describe them as a big fish. Mm. So then the next day, I bribed the building manager with 4 beers and to let me in, and then flew a big inflatable fish, like 5-foot fish, into the office, which had a memory stick attached to a piece of string floating down that had a video on it, which explained why I should do the daily vlogs on for Steve's brand.
I remember that day.
Do you?
Yep.
What did you think when it came in?
I just was like, why have we got a floating fish? And where'd you get those from? Because they're really cool.
I've still got one.
Have you?
They come in twos. I wouldn't even bat an eyelid if a fish the amount of random stuff that you just see in the office all the time.
Yeah, we get quite a lot.
You wouldn't even bat an eyelid.
But that sort of application fits well with our culture, I think. I think in order to work at Social Chain, you have to understand our work, but also our culture, because culture is such a massive thing here. And if you ever want employment, you have to really fit within the culture. My top tips for applying for a job is, one, to really understand the company and the work that they do, and understand which part of the company you want to work for, rather than just wanting to work for Social Chain, because we've got loads of different areas that we do, that we operate in. Second thing is, because we get so many applications, think about how you can stand out. Rather than just sending your CV in, what could you do that's different? How can you showcase your personality? Culture is a huge part of what we do here and what we're all about. And if you're going to stand out and we're going to see a bit of who you are, how are you going to bring that across in what you provide to us? And then also really think about what you're sending and who you're sending it to. So say if you want a job within the influencer team, how do you find out a little bit more about the head of influencers or someone in the influencer team that you can then get your message and just get, like, we know Tom Peters, head of influencer marketing, loves, say, the Spice Girls. What are you going to send him that's Spice Girl related? It's just something to give you stand out and make you heard above all the noise, which is the same as what you do on social. Just putting that little bit of extra thought into what you're sending in and sending something relevant to the person that you're trying to reach will get so much more cut through than just sending in a CV. We have so many shoes that get sent in because people want a foot in the door. Please don't do that. I just think we've had that, it's done, and it doesn't work. We want to see your personality come through and a lot of thought, and then also what you can do for Social Chain to make us even better. We're constantly looking to evolve and grow and develop. So if you've got something that you think we should be doing that in a different way, we should be doing it a bit better, we could be improving, and this is how I would do it, then let us know. And that's how you get standout for a job application here. The third admission submission for this week, third and final, is from a male aged 18. I shouldn't say this, but help me budget. Hi, Katie. I've recently finished college and I've started my own fashion brand. Well, congratulations. And I want to get a word out about my new line. However, I only have about £100 to spend on marketing. What would you do? What would be the best way of spending it? Thank you. Right. So with £100... to spend as a kickstart of marketing, I would use it to try and understand who your audience are. You can use that part of that £100 to start building a paid campaign to build up your target audience, and then you can use that data to really understand who you're targeting and why to build a bigger marketing plan. So I would take a step back and understand exactly who you're speaking to and why. Sometimes you don't even need to spend that £100. You can just take a bit of time to do a bit of research into who you think your target consumer is, what similar brands are they consuming, what are those brands doing already, and what other types of content are those that audience consuming, and what are they engaging with. You can then create some content for social that fits within that. I think when you're starting out, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And if you've got a competitor, or if you've got a similar brand in targeting a similar audience, so it doesn't even have to be in the same space, targeting a similar audience that you think are doing really great work, look at what they're doing and think about how you can translate that into your brand values. And then use that £100 to try and target a bit more specific with paid ads the audience that you're trying to reach. You will then get a plethora of data that you can then build on to try and maximise that £100 and get return on that investment.
So would you spend... So you don't spend any money in the research.
Don't spend any money in the research.
Looking what other similar companies are doing.
Yeah.
And then that informs your decision. And then you spend, say, £20 on a couple of ads. And you're hoping that because you've been a bit more niche with your research, that will then convert more.
Yeah.
and then you get hopefully some conversions
and more data.
More data. And then with the conversion money and your other 80 quid,
yeah,
you then go a bit deeper and a bit deeper and a bit deeper.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what? How else would you gather information other than just looking at the Instagram?
Look at competitors.
Yeah.
Look at people, but also you don't even have to look at people who are doing, so say this is fashion. You wouldn't even have to look at fashion. You could look at someone who's targeting your audience but doing it really well in a different space altogether. Mm. Sometimes you can get quite a lot of inspiration from a different brand who's doing something really well for the same audience type.
So you just spend a amount of time looking on Instagram, looking at what competitors are posting, what are they saying in their descriptions, and how do you find out who their audience is?
I'd start by making a list of brands that you admire, because then that's probably a similar audience.
And then they might be working with Jamal Edwards, let's say. And then when you do your targeted ads, you can be like, people who are also a fan of Zara and Jamal Edwards or something. And that might help narrow your funnel a little. Okay, that's interesting.
Actually, going out and speaking to people in the audience that you're talking to, asking them what are their favourite brands? Who do you follow? Why? Just take a bit of time to go out and speak to people that you know that are in the same audience demographic that you want to reach, and ask them who they like, who they consume, who they follow on social, and then you can have a bit of a better idea, because that doesn't have to cost you anything either. It's just a conversation with someone. Or
you could just bypass asking them and just go on their Instagram, go on your friend's Instagram that you think would be the ideal person.
Yeah.
And who do they follow?
Yeah. Speaking to people, I think. Really understanding people first before you do anything.
So the answer is, I've got 100 quid on marketing, how do I spend it? And your answer is data. 90% spend your time on data, which is free.
Yeah.
And then put that data will inform your decisions.
Yeah.
And those decisions is £100 and you put them on Facebook ads.
Yeah. Rather than just spending 100 quid straight away on Facebook ads without...
Just instead of, you just press boost post and then it just boosts it.
Just being smart with that £100.
Watch a few YouTube videos about Facebook ads. Learn how to do a bit more detailed in your ads.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Brill. Our main topic for this technology episode is all about AR. Woo. Woo. And how AR is the future. I say AR. AR.
I was thinking, isn't there like a pirate joke where it's like, what's the pirate's favourite kids' TV show? And it's like, Arthur. It's a terrible joke. I'm so sacked first thing tomorrow. Oh, it's Hey Arnold, isn't it?
Hey Arnold.
Hey Arnold. My mistake. I can't even tell the shit joke correctly. Are you allowed to swear on this podcast?
We don't really swear, Todd. We're very clean cut. Technology episode has made you angry.
Like an old man that rejects new technologies. Back in my day.
Wouldn't have had any of this AR in my day. No. Whoppers coming to your car on a bike. No, thank you.
Somebody pass me my GameCube and just leave me alone.
AR is the future, though, Dodds. That's the thing. That's what we want
to
talk about.
That's what I've got to adapt to.
You have got to adapt to it. And how do you win doing AR today?
Silly.
Which you can, and we have a way. So augmented reality, AR, if you didn't know what we were talking about. It's not a pirate joke. It's augmented reality. We want to talk first about the importance of capitalising on a new technology and how to do that through something that we call the hype cycle. The hype cycle is a chart. The y-axis is visibility and then the x-axis is time. So over time, visibility changes through the hype cycle. It starts with a technological trigger at the bottom end of the visibility spectrum, and then visibility rises very quickly on the hype cycle at a short period of time that reaches its peak of inflated expectations. That then drops down over time into the trough of disillusionment, slopes back up to the slope of entitlement, and then plateaus into the plateau of productivity. Where we like to sit, trying to keep the brands at the forefront of what's possible at social change, is in that first spike in interest. And that's where we operate. That's how we build strategies for brands, because we like to keep brands at the forefront of what's possible. This is where we are with AR. It's in that first spike. It's there, and we are now going to capitalize on it. AR previously, there's been a lot of talk about augmented reality for years, and I think that people are a little bit skeptical and they think of it more as a gimmick and something that will never actually get to the levels to take off, but we're actually there. And the time has come, and brands that are early adopters to it in the right spaces are actually using it to massive advantage. So we've seen L'Oreal as a great example, using it for makeup augmented reality to get you to test different shades, different products, to see what it would look like on your own face before you actually risk purchasing and spending your money on something that you might not suit. It's just, it's a no-brainer for me. Major beauty companies and fashion companies using augmented reality as a way to get people to buy into the product before they actually buy it and the brand. What AR creates is both behaviours and experiences, and the way that we can use it is to really create an immersive experience and get you more connected with brands through augmented reality. And while it is so new and so fresh, it means that you can have a real talking point about your brand before anyone else, which is all about what early adopters can capitalise on. And also the fact that people probably think that it's quite expensive. But to build an AR filter isn't as expensive as you think it is. With starting points at around £15,000, it's a really, really easy and very affordable point of entry into augmented reality, and something that not many people are doing. So it's something to think about. The benefits of using AR are incredible. The research that we've found has shown that you get a 28 times greater brand recall. You get an 8 times higher click-through rate on video, a 4 times longer view time than a video, and a 3 times higher purchase intent. Those stats are great. And what we're going to talk to you about now, what I'm going to talk to you about now, is how to create a great piece of AR. It's all the same. It's the same as what we always talk about. It's the same as creating any piece of content. It's got to be shareable. It's got to be memeable. It's got to be accessible, relatable, and topical. Those things are what we rely on for content creation, but also it's the same for AR. If you start thinking about why would people want to use this augmented reality filter product, and then start from that starting point rather than just think, I really want to just create a really cool filter. Why are people going to share it? Why are people going to talk about it? You've got a great opportunity there. And it's only really, we think, about 2 to 3 months before it goes mainstream. And at the moment, it's closed behind, it's a closed beta at the minute. We've got actually access at Social Chain to get brands onto augmented reality early, and we're now on that cycle, the spike in terms of that hype cycle. So early adopters can really take advantage. And if anyone wants to know about it, I don't often plug things on for Social Chain services, but this is something we're really excited about. So if you want to talk to us, just get in touch about augmented reality and we can see what we can do for your brand. Now time for my little tip for the week, and something that I shouldn't say, but I shouldn't say this, but here's a marketing hack for you that we're going to give away this week, because I've been away for a couple of weeks. We thought we'd give away some trade secrets. So here we go. Unlike Starbucks, who didn't become part of a conversation, we've seen a brand that is doing it exceptionally well in the US, and we have been monitoring their activity. We're still quite angry about Starbucks, can you tell?
I'm over it. I'm totally fine. I just don't want to talk about it anymore, you know what I mean?
I'm totally fine. Fashion Over, which is a US fashion company, are very social and they spend a lot of money on social, a lot of money on influencers, a lot of money on marketing on social. But one thing that we have spotted that they're doing is they're doing sponsored ads on meme pages. If you remember a long time ago now, we talked about Netflix using memes to create a hype about their program. Fashion Nova are doing this to some success. It's not a sell. They're not selling. They're not putting product in there. They're using it as a brand reminder to try and push Fashion Nova message in a place where people are and where people are reacting. So being part of a social conversation and being part of a social experience. Memes, we know, are how people converse on social. And being part of that conversation is how Fashion Nova are definitely winning. They are using ordinary lifestyle photos and they're turning them into memes to create audience engagement, which makes it fit with the wider theme of the page. And the meme is actually being... the memes are actually being targeted at men, letting them know how appealing their girl will be wearing Fashion Nova brands. We know that Gen Z especially, which is an audience that these guys will be targeting... As a blanket, I know Gen Z's quite a big, broad group, but Gen Z's, we know, prefer entertaining content over friends content on social. So they've really tapped into that and being part of how people's user behaviour is on social. And they've been using pages like Sarcasm Only, which has got 13.7 million followers on Instagram, to create meme campaigns. You might be sat there thinking, why is she talking about memes? They're just silly pages on social. But if you look at how many followers these accounts have got, millions and millions of people follow those accounts and share the content that these accounts are producing, then you start to realise that memes are actually, and these memes accounts are part of a social experience and you shouldn't discount them. If you think that you are better than them, you should turn to Gucci, who have recently done a meme campaign for new products that they're launching to some success. So even the big brands, the big luxury brands, are using memes because they know that's how people converse on social to get people's attention while they're on platform. If you think that your brand is above meme marketing, then you're definitely going to get left behind. Let me know in the comments below if you agree or disagree, and if you think that meme marketing is the future of marketing. Just to wrap up the podcast. Why did I say pod then? That's because you said it. Just to round
That's
up.
That's how the cool kids call it.
Pod. I'm not cool.
We're on the pod.
I'm not cool. Round up the podcast. We're going to read out a couple of reviews because I like to share those because it also gives me a boost of confidence. It's all about my ego. I shouldn't listen at work, but can't help myself. Listening to a couple of episodes per day whilst at my desk sees my productivity levels peak beyond belief. Each topic can be made relative to everyone's situation, and by the end of an episode, my mindset is set for the day.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wowzers.
Wow.
That's nice.
That's really nice. Thanks. This has Clever
been
James.
This has been hopefully value for people, this episode, but also a nice episode for, well, me personally, and I imagine
yes,
you as
and
well.
Me, yes.
For people who are actually finding the pod and motivating me to do more.
To carry on. And just actually, push us forward to get people. Back into our routine.
We're going to go for consistency now, aren't we?
After our hiatus.
I don't want people to think that we're not... The reason that we're like leaving gaps is because we're like not serious. It's either because you're ill.
Yeah.
And then I think the only other time we missed... When we weren't busy. Consistent is when it was that crazy week.
Yeah.
But we are really motivated to do these.
We love them. And, I
and
love
in fact, it. Everyone's gone to Alton Towers today.
That's very true. Behind. That you guys are so lucky because we've missed out on a day trip to Alton Towers because we knew that we hadn't done your podcast and we felt guilty and we knew we needed to do it.
So the office
and
is
we've
empty.
Missed it, obviously. So the office is empty and we ate cold sausage sandwiches because they'd all eaten them before they left.
They'd all had the nice bacon ones.
And they'd all had the nice bacon ones, but we had a cold sandwich when we got in. And we've done that just for you. So pass on to your friends because we need the listener numbers to go up now because you should all feel guilty that we've missed Alton Towers.
And because we're putting in the effort, we'll get a sponsor And then when the money we get from the sponsor, we'll go to Alton Towers.
We'll go to Alton Towers. If Alton Towers want to sponsor us, the even better.
Cut out the middleman. Nice.
And we can go to the Cadbury room in the hotel. If that's still there.
A room full of chocolate.
When I was a child, all I really wanted to do was go to the Cadbury room. It might not be there anymore. It was definitely there when I was little.
Alton Towers. Yeah, I think so. Ooh.
Ooh.
Yeah, we'll go there.
Yes, we will. We do need... I'd like a sponsor. I'd also like clothes. So if anyone wants to send me anything, obviously, because we get so many views on the videos and I'm obviously wearing stuff for the video, so...
Oh, why are you selling it to me?
I'm not. I'm trying to tell...
I'm on board, mate.
Yeah, I know. Give us some clothes. The other review we're going to read out is, I'm not designed to be subtle. I've just found this podcast, but it's so refreshing to have a female role model to look up to. Oh.
Because you're tall, not because you're...
I'm not even that tall. Someone who isn't afraid to speak their mind and have uncommon opinions on tough topics. See, I can't even speak. I'm not a role model. I can't speak. I too am a perfectionist who struggles with knowing when to say things and when to keep my mouth shut. Brilliant podcast, so relatable.
Oh, I'm all warm and fuzzy.
Me too. And that wraps up our podcast very nicely, leaving you all with a nice warm feeling inside. We are now going to go and sit in the office where no one else is.
But it does mean that we have full control over the office playlist. So
yes, we
think
do.
About who's really winning.
Well, you
it's
just,
definitely them.
You've got a new obsession with Rod Stewart.
Oh, I don't... air my news. Rod Stewart was on the background track of something I was watching on Netflix, and now I can't get it out of my head. There, I said it.
So. I don't want to listen to Rod Stewart all day.
Don't sit next to me, then.
So, thank you so much for listening, and we are so happy to be back. Normal service has resumed. I am back. I am fighting fit. Please subscribe to the podcast, and please send your please rate us as well, and we'll read them out because we love a little ego
send
boost.
Send us your admissions and your free clothes.
So, yeah, we want everything from you. Your admission submissions, your reviews.
Tell a friend.
Free clothes. And we will see you next week.